Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, March 9th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Russian forces intensify their attack on Ukraine's capital city, Kyiv.
Energy markets remain volatile as President Biden bans imports from Moscow.
Starbucks and Coca-Cola are the latest to suspend business in Russia.
And a big-name investor warns of a 10% print on U.S. inflation.
New Jersey Governor Murphy unveiled his state budget, plus Florida's so-called Don't Say Gay bill is on its way to the governor's desk. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Nets won. The Rangers and Devils lost. Big trade in the NFL and some optimism for the end of the baseball lockout.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures rebounding this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 69 points. Dow futures up 473. NASDAQ futures up 263. That's up 2%. The DAX in Germany is up 4.7%. 10-year Treasury down 14/32, yield 1.89%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.65%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.5% on $3.06 at $120.63 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 1% at $2,023 an ounce. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute. First, the latest on the war in Ukraine. Russian forces have intensified their strikes on Kyiv. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
The bulk of Russian forces are about 30 miles away from the city. Now, this coincides with what U.S. Intelligence Director Avril Haines is telling the House Intelligence Committee, that Vladimir Putin thought the war would end in 2 days and that he will now be more brutal.
Our analysts assess that Putin is unlikely to be deterred by such setbacks and instead may escalate, essentially doubling down to achieve Ukrainian disarmament and neutrality.
Now, Haines says if the resistance continues, it may have to change with some kind of face-saving action, but that resistance will have to remain very strong. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. In Ukraine, President Vladimir Zelensky is calling for more support from allies. He addressed the UK House of Commons yesterday.
Please increase the pressure of sanctions against this country, and please recognize this country as a terrorist state. And please make sure that our Ukrainian skies are safe.
Zelensky's address was the first ever speech to the UK chamber by a foreign leader.
Back here in the U.S., Karen, lawmakers on Capitol Hill have crafted legislation to ban U.S. imports of Russian oil. The move came just hours after President Biden called for a ban. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The House legislation is a response by lawmakers to public anger over Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It's also forced President Biden's hand, despite the administration's concerns about the effect on energy prices. Biden had a warning for companies trying to profit off the crisis.
It's no excuse to exercise excessive price increases or padding profits or any kind of effort to exploit this situation.
The House bill bars the importation of Russian crude oil, liquefied natural gas, coal, and refined products like gasoline and kerosene. It also reviews Russia's access to the World Trade Organization. It is scheduled for a floor vote later today and will take effect 45 days after it's enacted. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Turning back to the U.S. economy, it's all about inflation this week. We get the latest reading on consumer prices tomorrow. Meantime, billionaire bond manager Jeffrey Gundlach warns that inflation could approach 10% this year. He said the Fed needs to aggressively tighten monetary policy. The CEO of Double Line Capital also says that bonds are currently overvalued while emerging market debt is cheap.
Minnesota Democratic Senator Tina Smith, Karen, says it is important that the U.S. not rely on foreign oil.
The power of being energy independent and doing that through moving aggressively into clean power and renewable power is that, you know, Putin has no say on whether how much we pay for wind or solar. In fact, that power is free. It gives us so much more resilience, I think.
Minnesota Senator Tina Smith spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, Nathan, the list of companies suspending operations or pulling out of Russia keeps growing. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Iconic brands like Starbucks, Coca-Cola, and McDonald's are the latest to pull out of Russia. The coffee chain's partner in the country is pausing operations and will give support to the nearly 2,000 partners who depend on the company for their livelihood. PayPal is also suspending business in Russia, and PepsiCo says it'll suspend soft drink sales in the country, but will continue to sell daily essentials like baby formula and milk. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. The Russian ruble's trading for the first time this week and weakening sharply. European equities, meantime, are staging a comeback. Let's go to London, get the very latest live with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Plenty of green on traders' Bloomberg screens today. That's as dip buyers wait. The global economic impact of escalating sanctions is already reflected in equity prices. Euro Stoxx 600 gaining this morning with banks, tech and travel and leisure among the best performing sectors. Something not gaining today, Russia's ruble. It slumped as much as 7.8% against the dollar as the onshore market resumed in Moscow, giving local traders their first chance this week to react to recent negative developments. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. And in Asia overnight, inflation was also in focus. China's factory prices eased again in February, although the outlook is deteriorating. And Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has the details.
The PPI rose 8.8% from a year earlier. That's down from 9.1% in January. It did beat the estimate of 8.6%. But the spike in commodities since Russia invaded Ukraine may flip these numbers in March. Meantime, consumer inflation was muted. The CPI was unchanged at 0.9%, the same as economists had projected. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Brian, thanks. Right now, S&P futures are up 76 points. Dow futures up 526. NASDAQ futures up 292 points. 10-year Treasury down 16/32. The yield 1.90%. NYMEX crude is down 2.1%, down $2.56 at $121.14 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 40 degrees in Central Park. Still seeing issues on New Jersey Transit after this week's winds. We'll get the details on that for you shortly in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New Jersey Democratic Governor Phil Murphy has proposed a $48.9 billion budget. It boosts K through 12 funding, makes a full public pension payment for the second straight year, and redistributes nearly $1 billion in property tax relief. Murphy unveiled the proposal during a speech in the Assembly Chamber.
And I'm proud across our first 4 years working together, we cut taxes for our middle class and working families and seniors 14 times.
New Jersey had better than expected sales and income tax collections. Governor Murphy also talked about the Russian invasion in Ukraine.
Our administration is assessing what financial or business exposure we may have to the Russian government or Russian-owned business interests or securities, including in our pension funds.
Governor Murphy says the administration will make sure state taxpayer dollars are not supporting Russia. Florida's controversial legislation, which affects discussions about sexual orientation and gender in public classrooms, is on its way to the Florida governor's desk. LGBTQ advocates dubbed it the Don't Say Gay bill. The Biden administration has denounced the bill as anti-LGBTQ. However, supporters say the bill would not keep people from talking about the issues in classrooms, but change curriculum and lessons on it. A Texas man was convicted of storming the U.S. Capitol with a holstered handgun. A jury also convicted Guy Reffitt of interfering with police officers who were guarding the Capitol on January 6th. Democrats and Republicans in Congress struck a deal on a long-delayed $1.5 trillion spending bill that would fund the U.S. government through the rest of the fiscal year. It also provides $13.6 billion to respond to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. A bipartisan bill to reform the U.S. Postal Service and give it a much-needed financial boost easily passed the Senate. The House passed it earlier, and the bill is now headed to President Biden's desk. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York.
We passed strong bipartisan legislation. It's a win-win-win for bipartisanship, for our postal workers, and a win for tens of millions of Americans who rely on the post office every day.
Senator Schumer, Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. This comes under the heading of we've seen this before, but there is some growing optimism that the baseball lockout might be coming to an end. Although once before, there was a long meeting, and it did not lead to a new labor deal. The two sides just had a 17-hour bargaining session that lasted until just a few hours ago, and they're coming back for more today. They not only did not cancel another week's worth of regular season games as they threatened to do, but one bargaining chip now used by the owners is squeezing in a 162-game season, playing the games that were canceled a week ago. What a day in the NFL offseason. First, the Aaron Rodgers re-signing in Green Bay, ending a year-long talk of him leaving or retiring. He had about 200 million reasons to stay with the Packers. That's the size of his new four-year deal with Green Bay. Denver wanted to acquire Rodgers in a trade. When that fell through, the Broncos traded for Russell Wilson. The Seahawks get three players, two first-round draft picks, 2 seconds in return. The Broncos have needed a better quarterback ever since Peyton Manning retired. The Nets in Charlotte. Kyrie Irving gets to play road games, and what a game he did play. In 38 minutes, Irving scored 50 points. He shot 15 of 19, made 9 of 12 three-pointers. His fifth career 50-point game. Nets beat the Hornets 132-121. They play tomorrow in Philadelphia against their old friend James Harden. Knicks play tonight in Dallas. Rangers lost in Minnesota 5-2. Devils beat the NHL-leading Colorado Avalanche 5-3. St. John's plays DePaul tonight at the Big East Tournament at the Garden. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. Stocks making a comeback right now. S&P futures up 71 points. Dow futures up 502. NASDAQ futures higher by 273 points. And the 10-year down 16 30 seconds. The yield 1.90%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Rain likely, maybe mixed with a little wet snow. Upper 30s for highs. Partly sunny tomorrow. Upper 40s. Will be near 50 with a mix of sun and clouds and winds. Right now, 40 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and European shares are extending gains as dip buyers wager the global economic impact of escalating sanctions on Russia is already reflected in market prices. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up more than 70 points. Dow futures up 485. NASDAQ futures up 263 or 2%. The DAX in Germany is up 5.1%. The CAC in Paris up 4.9%. The FTSE 100 up 2.2%. 10-year Treasury down 16 30 seconds, yield 1.90%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.65%. NYMEX crude oil moving lower, down 1.1% on $1.42 at $122.30 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1.2% on $24.30 at $2,019 an ounce. The euro, 1.0980 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.3163. The yen at 115.85. And Bitcoin this morning moving higher at more than 9% at $42,100. Today we are looking for the JOLTS jobs report out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Ukraine's deputy prime minister says Russia agreed to open humanitarian corridors in parts of the country for 12 hours to allow civilians to escape from several cities. It comes as the U.S. warned that Russian forces were intensifying their bombardment of Kyiv. The Pentagon says Poland's offer to give its MiG-29 fighter jets to the U.S. so they can be passed to Ukraine raises serious concerns for the NATO alliance, and the plan is not a tenable one. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby said that the prospect of jets departing from a U.S. NATO base in Germany to fly into airspace contested with Russia in the Ukraine war is concerning. UN officials say 2 million people have fled Ukraine in the 2 weeks since Russia's invasion, as the humanitarian situation in the country's besieged cities has grown worse. In Mariupol, bodies lay uncollected in the streets, and hopes for a mass evacuation of civilians were dashed again. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're joined now from our Paris Bureau this morning by Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo as we continue tracking the latest on the war in Ukraine. Maria, good morning. Get us up to speed on developments from where you sit.
Well, you know, this is day 14 of this war, which continues to drag on. And, of course, it's heartbreaking for the people of Ukraine. It's a very difficult situation. But the goal now is to de-escalate tensions. Today we had a briefing from the Russian foreign minister who said and suggested, which to me is very interesting, to say the least, that Russia has no intention of taking over the Ukrainian government, that Russia does not want to occupy Ukraine, and that also says we would achieve results in a peaceful way, and it would be better if we achieve these results in a way that is diplomatic. Now, to me, it is telling because it does signal a shift in tone from the Russians. They openly now say they don't want to get rid of President Zelensky. In many ways, what they're stating now is the obvious. President Zelensky has become an icon for the people of Ukraine, and occupation would not be feasible. We've seen active resistance from the people of Ukraine. But what is interesting is that they bring up again this element. Let's have a dialogue. Let's have a negotiation on the table, which is different to what Vladimir Putin said a week ago, in which he talked about a government of drug addicts and Nazis, and he repeated 10 times in a speech, we have to denazify Ukraine.
Are we hearing a corresponding shift in tone from Ukrainian leaders? We had that speech yesterday, the historic speech in the House of Commons from Ukrainian President Zelensky.
Look, the way that they frame it is that there's a number of things here. One is Zelensky has made it clear until now that he has no intention of leaving the country. And as I said before, he really has become this icon in the country for unity, for resisting, and so on. And he's had a very successful media campaign. Ultimately, this is a face that everyone in Europe now recognizes. And we're talking about 500 million people, of course. When you look at the political way out of this, Ukraine has changed its language on NATO. Yesterday, it does seem that they said, you know, we wouldn't want to double down on this. A lot of this responds to or would respond to some disappointment that Ukraine has because NATO decided not to close their airspace. NATO, again, with weapons delivery, they feel like this could have been done faster. So this is politically a way out that he could opt for. Then when it comes to the membership of the European Union, which he has applied for, and tomorrow European leaders will debate, well, that is more complicated because Ukraine has it in its constitution that it wants to join the European Union, and ultimately its aspiration would be to enter the EU. So, you know, there could be ways out for this diplomatically, but the question is, what is he willing to accept?
Well, what are we expecting further from the meetings that are going to be happening in Paris this week? EU leaders, as you mentioned, are meeting. What are the expectations coming out of that?
Well, look, it's a two-day meeting that starts tomorrow. Of course, there's going to be a debate on sanctions on Russia. Yesterday, as you know, the United States banned oil imports for the Europeans. Well, this is something they're not in a position to do just yet. They've said they want to cut down reliance on Russian gas, but it cannot be done overnight. That is a big difference here compared to the United States. The transactional value of their relationship is much bigger between Russia and the EU, particularly countries like Germany. And there will also be a debate about the future of Ukraine, again, going back to this petition from the Ukrainian president to be taken seriously as a candidate for the European Union.
All right. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo with us this morning from Paris, where those meetings with EU leaders will be happening in Versailles, France, starting tomorrow, a two-day meeting that'll be very closely watched as we continue monitoring developments in the war in Ukraine now into day 14. Looking ahead to the market open this morning, seeing a bit of a rally for stocks this morning, and Brent crude is starting to fall as well. We have S&P futures right now up 67 points, Dow futures up 455, NASDAQ futures are higher by 264 points. The rally is huge for stocks in Europe right now. The DAX in Germany up 4.9%, and the CAC in Paris is higher by 4.67%. The 10-year Treasury is down 17 32nds. The yield 1.90%. Yield on the 2-year 1.65. As I mentioned, crude is falling now. We have Brent crude down 1% at $126.68 a barrel. NYMEX crude is at $122.08. That is a drop of 1.3%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, rain possibly mixed with some wet snow, especially north and west of the city, upper 30s today. We'll be in the upper 40s tomorrow, the high near 50 on Friday. It's going to be windy by then. Right now, 40 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour, beginning with the war in Ukraine. The U.S. says Russian forces are intensifying their strikes on the capital city of Kyiv. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says his military will continue to defend their land.
We will not give up. We will not lose. We will fight till the end, at sea, in the air. We will continue fighting for our land, whatever the cost. We will fight in the forests, in the fields, on the shores, in the streets.
President Zelensky says he will stay in Kyiv as long as is necessary to win the war.
Well, back here in the U.S., Karen, President Joe Biden announced plans to curb Russian oil imports.
This is a step that we're taking to inflict further pain on Putin. But there will be cost as well here in the United States. I said I would level with the American people from the beginning. And when I first spoke to this, I said defending freedom is going to cost. It's going to cost us as well.
Democrats in the House unveiled legislation to ban imports of Russian oil. A vote on that measure is expected today. Checking prices now, they're actually moving lower, with NYMEX crude down 1.9% or $2.24 at $121.46 a barrel. Brent is down 1.4% at $126.12.
Well, Nathan, the list of companies suspending operations or pulling out of Russia keeps growing. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Iconic brands like Starbucks, Coca-Cola, and McDonald's are the latest to pull out of Russia. The coffee chain's partner in the country is pausing operations and will give support to the nearly 2,000 partners who depend on the company for their livelihood. PayPal is also suspending business in Russia, and PepsiCo said it'll stop soft drink sales in the country. But will continue to sell daily essentials like baby formula and milk. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thanks. The Russian ruble's weakening sharply this morning. Before the war, it was trading around 80 per dollar. Right now, it's weakened to more than 135 per dollar.
Well, Nathan, Bitcoin is surging. It's jumped above 42,000 thanks to optimism about a U.S. overhaul of crypto oversight. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen calls an upcoming executive order from the White House, quote, historic. She says it strikes the right balance between fostering innovation and addressing potential risks tied to cryptocurrencies. And checking Bitcoin right now, it's at $42,096.
And a programming note for today. Join us about 3 hours from now for a conversation with Bill Gross. The former bond titan sits down for an interview on Bloomberg Surveillance coming up at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 40 degrees in Central Park. We'll tell you more about the lingering problems for New Jersey Transit in a few minutes. First, Michael Barr is here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has proposed a $48.9 billion budget. It boosts K through 12 funding, redistributes nearly $1 billion in property tax relief, and raises overall spending by about 5% over last year's plan. Murphy spoke in the Assembly Chamber the first time since the COVID pandemic.
We've been able to provide more relief and better opportunities for everybody else. We've been able to better support our public schools. We've been able to meet our full annual pension obligation.
Governor Murphy also talked about the war in Ukraine.
We will take whatever actions are needed to ensure New Jersey taxpayer dollars are not supporting Putin's unlawful invasion of Ukraine.
Murphy says they will take a look to see whether there are any Russian-owned entities in their pension fund. Florida's parental rights and education bill has passed in the state Senate, and the governor says he will sign it. The bill has been dubbed the Don't Say Gay bill by LGBTQ activists, which says lessons on, quote, sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through grade 3. The first person to go on trial over charges stemming from the January 6th riot was found guilty of obstruction of Congress and other counts. Texas militia group member Guy Reffitt was convicted of all five counts brought against him in Washington following a six-day trial. Reffitt's wife, Nicole, claims the trial was just a way to scare others who stormed the Capitol.
They are making a point out of Guy, and that is to intimidate the other members of the 1-6ers.
Ms. Reffitt,
and we will all fight together.
The jury deliberated for less than 4 hours. Democrats and Republicans in Congress struck a deal on a long-delayed $1.5 trillion spending bill that would fund the U.S. government through the rest of the fiscal year and provide $13.6 billion to respond to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Today's a big day in the baseball lockout. Either it ends and they'll play ball, or another week's worth of regular season games will be canceled, and the owners will have to take off the table a concession they made yesterday that they'll play the games that they canceled a week ago. The two sides began a bargaining session at 10 yesterday morning. It went until 3 this morning. And they'll be back for more talks today. Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay, but Russell Wilson on the move. Quite a day in the NFL offseason. Rodgers said he was unhappy in Green Bay. Not anymore. New four-year, $200 million deal for the MVP of the last two seasons. He's not only the NFL's highest-paid player, he gets to keep his star wideout. Devontae Adams got the franchise tag. Wilson, unhappy with the team's decline in Seattle, traded to Denver. The Seahawks get three players and a boatload of draft picks. Wilson QB'd the Seahawks for 11 years, took them to two Super Bowls, one championship. Only two backcourt players in NBA history have scored 50 points while making 75% of their shots. Michael Jordan and Kyrie Irving last night in Charlotte, the team that Jordan owns. Irving went for 50, shot 15 of 19. The Nets beat the Hornets 132-121 to get back to 500. Rangers lost in Minnesota 5-2. The Devils beat Colorado 5-3. The Northeast Conference Final did not go well for Wagner. Trailed Bryant 36-6 and lost 70-43. And there was a long delay late in the game. A nasty fight broke out in the stands. Season over for Manhattan. Lost at the Mack Tourney. Iona plays tonight. Big East tournament starts at the Garden. St. John's will play DePaul. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams embarked on a campaign this week to highlight the city's rolled back COVID-19 restrictions. 2 years after COVID shut down the city, Adams is trying to restore New York's formerly thriving office culture and its status as a beacon for travelers. With companies increasingly setting firm office return dates, sales at Pret-a-Manger stores on Wall Street approached a pandemic high last week. Bloomberg's Pret Index shows transactions were 53% of pre-pandemic levels in the cluster that includes the financial district. That's a fraction lower than the 56% record set in October. Governor Phil Murphy wants New Jersey's public pension fund to meet its minimum contribution requirement for a second straight year. Murphy will include a proposal to make a $6.8 billion payment in his annual state spending plan Tuesday. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about a new survey that finds inflation is hitting most Americans right in the wallet.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Toyota will review its production plans as global disruptions pile up.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that McDonald's is closing its restaurants in Russia for now, but will continue to pay its employees there.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the Bank of England as traders price in more than 100 basis points of rate hikes by June, and NISA warns of a UK recession.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Electric Last Mile Solutions plans to lay off about a quarter of its total headcount.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
President Biden's announcement that the U.S. will ban imports of Russian fossil fuels significantly escalates the response to Vladimir Putin's unprovoked war on Ukraine. Acting by itself, though, the U.S. can only do so much. That's because, unlike many of its European allies, the U.S. doesn't buy much energy from Russia. The UK has promised to follow America's lead in banning imports of Russia's oil, but it will continue to buy its gas and coal. Meanwhile, Europe's other governments are looking at ways to cut their own imports. Wherever possible, these plans should be accelerated. For many U.S. allies, banning Russian fossil fuel imports would be impossibly disruptive, but planning to reduce and then eliminate their dependence on Russian energy is entirely feasible. A credible commitment to do so would set Putin back as little else would. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. S&P futures up 73 points. Dow futures up 503. NASDAQ futures up 278. Crude oil falling after days of rising prices. We'll look at the market next with John Kilduff of Again Capital. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, rain likely mixed with a little wet snow north and west of town. We'll get up to the upper 30s today. Partly sunny, upper 40s tomorrow. Windy for Friday with a high near 50. Right now, 40 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and European shares are extending gains as dip buyers wager the global economic impact of escalating sanctions on Russia is already reflected in market prices. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 74 points. Dow futures up 515. NASDAQ futures up 287, up more than 2.2%. The DAX in Germany is up 5.33%. The 10-year Treasury down 17 32nds, yield 1.90%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.65%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.3% on $2.90 at $120.79 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1.2% on $23.50 at $2,019 an ounce. The euro, 1.0983 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3173. The yen at 115.87. And Bitcoin this morning higher by more than 9% at $42,110. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Vice President Harris is heading to Poland this morning. The trip comes amid a disagreement between Poland and the U.S. over Ukraine getting Poland's fighter jets. Meanwhile, there's a new effort to evacuate civilians out of Ukraine. Negotiators for locked-out players and Major League Baseball bargain into the early morning hours to preserve a 162-game season. They'll resume later today. In the NBA, the Nets and Warriors won. In the NHL, the Devils and Capitals won. The Rangers lost. Some NFL news. The Broncos have agreed to a trade for quarterback Russell Wilson from the Seahawks. QB Aaron Rodgers will stay with the Packers in a 4-year deal reported to be worth $200 million. Lordy. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Tank, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
That's quite the deal. Thank you, Michael. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we continue to watch the wild swings in the oil market following the U.S. announcement that it will ban Russian crude and gas imports. Let's get more on where the market could be headed from here. John Kilduff joins us, founding partner of Again Capital. John, good morning. We've been seeing a surge, of course, in oil prices over the last several days. Now, a pretty significant decline. Have we found a resistance level for crude, do you think?
It appears we have, right around the $130 a barrel level. We hit that on Sunday night, and we hit it again pretty much yesterday, and we keep backing off it. So I think folks can try and keep their fingers crossed that that will hold, although I'll tell you, just on a pure technical basis, looking at the chart going all the way back to 2008, there's no real resistance until that 147 all-time high print for WTI. So that's kind of where we have to go and touch before we can have more confidence that that we could back off. But look, I mean, the market has been pretty proportional in its response to the various developments here, including the foreclosure of crude oil into the United States from Russia and other factors, of course. So at this point, you know, it's sort of a wait and see, but as you're seeing, even just overnight here, it's highly volatile. I think just as I've been waiting for you, I've seen the price swing about $2 for Brent. We were over 127. Now it's got a 125 handle. So you can't take your eyes off this screen for right now.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to need some Dramamine to be in this market for a little bit here. What do you think the catalyst could be if we do see 2008 level, 147, like you're talking about?
Well, Russia is continuing to make all kinds of problems for all the commodity markets. If President Putin does follow through on his threat now to ban all commodity exports, including oil, which would cut off Europe and potentially China, then we're into the next phase of this thing. Then we're into the next phase of pricing, because this is supply that cannot be made up. And then China in particular, and Europe for that matter, would be scrambling for the available world supplies, which would then have to price in an effective rationing, which would get really ugly price-wise for consumers around the world. So that would be the next phase here. But I'll tell you that the chance, too, though, is that we this price really craters if there's any kind of progress about brokering some kind of a lasting peace and potentially a deal. And you saw sort of the contours of that over the past number of days here. And to the extent we get anything like that, you know, there's about $30 of air in this price at this point on the fears, on the supply fears from the war.
We're starting to hear a little bit more talk now, I think, comparing this situation to the 1973 oil embargo. Is that the kind of precedent you're looking at for where the market could be headed from here?
It just in the pure price and supply shock, yes. I will say, though, that in terms of the U.S. economy, even, and I'm the first one to say that oil has been a handmaiden to every one of the past several recessions here in the United States. There were certainly other factors, but crude oil was part of it. But as far as comparing the 1970 situation to today, the U.S., of course, much less energy dependent, and also the amount of energy used in our economy appreciably less than it was back then. But yes, this would rival in terms of a supply shock that time period if Russia was to go ahead and embargo its oil to the rest of the world.
All right, John Kilduff, great to get your insights this morning. John Kilduff is founding partner of Again Capital. And just looking at prices right now, we have seen pretty significant swings just in the current session. Right now, NYMEX crude is down 2%, down $2.46 right now at $121.42 a barrel. Brent is down 1.4% or $1.89 at $126.06 per barrel. Karen.
Nathan, it's 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
OSHA is launching a three-month inspection push that will target healthcare employers where COVID-19 hazards were previously identified. A suit filed in San Francisco accuses Airbnb of failing to warn guests about hidden cameras in homes rented on its platform and taking no steps to prevent guests from being recorded. Voters in Napa Valley, California will consider a quarter-cent sales tax increase as part of an initiative to improve fire services. The levy was unanimously approved by the Board of Supervisors.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching. This week, the Supreme Court limited the reach of a three-strikes law that enhances the sentences of career criminals in federal gun cases. The Armed Career Criminal Act imposes a mandatory 15-year prison sentence for anyone in possession of a gun who has three prior convictions for violent felonies. And which prior offenses count toward these three strikes can make a huge difference in sentencing. For more on the issue, June Grasso speaks to Bloomberg Law reporter Jordan Rubin.
Jordan, this was yet another case before the court on the Armed Career Criminal Act. What was the issue here?
So the issue in his case was whether his prior offenses counted towards this three strikes law, the Armed Career Criminal Act, and that's the issue at the Supreme Court, and it's a law that is being litigated all the time at the Supreme Court, really drives the justices nuts because of how difficult it is to figure out really whether these prior convictions can count, and there are just so many issues that arise in trying to figure that out, and that was what was happening in Wooden's case.
Tell us about the burglary Wooden had pleaded to. It was sort of an escalating crime, but in one place.
Exactly. And so it's all about how you describe it, right? And so the issue here was this specific component of the act, which includes crimes that are, quote, committed on occasions different from another, end quote. And so the question is, what counts as an occasion? Sounds simple enough, right? Well, the court had a pretty difficult time with it because they were looking back at Wooden's prior convictions, namely back to this one night in 1997 in Georgia, where he pleaded guilty to 10 counts of burglary for entering 10 units of a Georgia mini storage facility on the same night. The question was whether that counts as 10 separate offenses under this career criminal law or just one. And so that all came down to the question of whether it was one occasion or whether it was 10 different occasions. And the court, in an opinion by Justice Kagan, said that counted as just one occasion based on a plain English meaning of the word occasion.
I love her opinions. And in this one, she gave an example that involved a wedding ceremony and a barroom brawl.
There was a lot of colorful aspects to Justice Kagan's opinion. She's a great writer. It talked about, for example, how if, you know, someone had busted out on a conga line or something like that while you were giving your wedding vows, that would all happen during the wedding occasion. But obviously, that's not the way that normal people will refer to the term. And so that was kind of the thrust of Kagan's opinion, all about trying to describe it in a way that normal people would talk about things.
And that's Bloomberg Law reporter Jordan Rubin speaking with June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Again, futures are on the rise with S&P futures up 65 points, Dow futures up 450, NASDAQ futures up 253, 10-year Treasury down 16/32. The yield 1.90%, the yield on the 2-year 1.65%, and NYMEX crude oil down more than 2%. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.